Jackson trying to escape and run for it, and he's got it more. Lamar Jackson down the sideline. Will they give it to him? They will. Touchdown, Baltimore.
And with 1:17 left to play on Wild Card Weekend, the Hayes in the Barn.
Oh my God! I wish you guys could. I wish we had a camera in here so you could see what we're doing. We're just a bunch of clowns in here.
How much fun is that?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Monday, December 27th. My name is Jake Luke, and I am coming at you guys solo tonight here in the Jeremy Butler Memorial Studio. Just going to be ripping through a quick little recap show here today. Spencer is heading up to Vermont, so he's unfortunately not going to be getting in up there until a little bit later, so he decided I was just going to run this one solo, as I've done a couple times, and I believe he's done as well. At certain points throughout the year, it feels maybe about as appropriate a time to kind of just gloss through one of these things and just sort of get it done, because the Ravens go into Cincy today, Sunday, as I'm recording this, Sunday night. A few hours earlier, they went into Cincy and they lost in pretty historic fashion to the Bengals, 41-21. Joe Burrow with four touchdown passes, 525 yards. Joe Mixon also did some damage on the ground, 18 attempts, 65 yards and a touchdown. And really this story of the game here is going to be Burrow and these young receivers that the Bengals have done really, really well to surround him with. The story of the year with the Bengals, like early in the year, was definitely Ja'Marr Chase. And it makes sense. You know, he was, what, the second overall pick and looked every bit the part of a future Hall of Fame type player out of LSU early in the year. That was no more on display than the first time these two teams met, when Chase just absolutely lit the Ravens defense up in Baltimore. But today he went 7 for 125. He didn't have any touchdowns, but he looked really good. But he took a backseat to somehow took a backseat to T. Higgins, who had 12 catches for 194 yards, two touchdowns and a long of 52. He really was what broke the game open for the Bengals. Before the half, it looked, the Ravens had just scored a touchdown. It looked like they were going to maybe have a chance to keep it within a two-score game. But the Bengals are facing a critical third and long. Joe Burrow sees that he's got T. Higgins. I forget exactly who of these corners he was matched up on, but it was double coverage, and he just kind of hawked it up to him, and T. Higgins made an incredible catch over top of those two defenders. They get down there into the red zone, and then I believe it was him that winds up scoring. Not even really on the next play. The Bengals got a little bit of help from the refs, I think, calling holding on, I think, Daryl Worley, who had an interception in the end zone that really would have helped them out big time. But I think that's going to be the main headline of the day, is Joe Burrow's historic outing, where he goes for, like I said, 525 and four. He could have had another touchdown. I think it might have been Chase. I'm not totally sure who it was, but somebody almost snagged a fifth touchdown for him there at the end. So it's hard to really provide much analysis, even if Spencer with his more trained eye was here. I'm not sure what you really say about what this defense did or did not do today. I think basically what the story on the defensive side of the ball is, what it kind of goes back to, is people with those more trained eyes seem to think that Wink Martindale kind of stuck with what he's stuck with at times, you know, maybe at fault at times, and that's doing a lot of blitzing and getting some free rushers and that kind of stuff at the expense of some of these more inexperienced players that they have out there. You know, you had guys testing positive for COVID literally right before the game, like a couple days before the game. I think we did our preview show thinking that Tyler Huntley was going to play in this game. I haven't even mentioned that he didn't play. He tests positive for COVID on Christmas, I believe, on Saturday. So it was initially reported that he was just dealing with some sort of non-COVID illness and he'd be good to go. But no, it wound up that he got placed onto the COVID list. And so Josh Johnson came in and started at quarterback. I think he did an admirable job today. But getting back to what I was talking about there, it just they were so banged up. They just really didn't have the horses in the back in the secondary today. And unfortunately, that's just kind of what happens when you're starting guys, or maybe not necessarily starting, but heavily rotating guys like Kevon Seymour and Darryl Worley in and whoever else is, you know, kind of shifting in and out of the lineup there today. It was kind of hard to keep track, honestly. And especially hard when Anthony Averett goes down. He has like a rib injury that he's dealing with per John Harbaugh. After the game, he spoke to the media and confirmed that. As we saw, I think it was T. Higgins or somebody kind of kicked him in the ribs. So he left the game on the cart. It looked like he was in a good bit of pain. So, I mean, hopefully for him, he can find a way to get himself back into the lineup at some point before the end of the year and get some more positive stuff on tape, because I believe they'll be approaching a contract decision to make with him, or he'll be, you know, kind of facing free agency. So he's going to want to get as much good tape out there as possible. And he's got, or at least had, a good opportunity in front of him to be kind of the alpha dog at corner after Marlon Humphrey went down, and Marcus Peters too, obviously, but that was a while ago at this point. And he's played pretty well this year, but he was kind of the one that went down today that was like, well, you know, it just, at a certain point, you kind of just throw your hands up with the secondary and say, like, what the hell are they even supposed to do? Like, I think back to like that 2015 team, and people bring that team up a lot in comparison to this one. And I've struggled with that comparison because this team is actually winning. I don't think that 2015 team had much of a chance to be good from the outset. And the injuries that they faced certainly didn't help, but, you know, they wound up finishing 5-11, I believe. They were probably closer to like a 500 type team, but it just didn't work out for them. It's what's unfortunate about this team is they've played so well at times this year, to the point where it kind of made people believe that they could go on to do great things. And I think in that regard, with the expectations that people have and with the anger that they're feeling now, I think they were a little bit of a victim of their own success, because they really did overachieve. If you think about it, they lose Stanley early on in the year, Ronnie Stanley, and then that causes the Jenga pieces to start falling on the offensive line. They've just lost guys on the defensive side of the ball, particularly on the back end, all throughout the year. And eventually it just feels like the dam was kind of starting to break today. And then this was sort of the zenith of all those chickens kind of coming home to roost when you have Burrow just absolutely slinging the rock all over you. I mean, they started the game out. They didn't score a touchdown on their first drive, but they made it look freaking easy, just slicing and dicing their way up and down the field. And the Ravens really did not make many stops today. I don't think Cincinnati's punter got a ton of work. So it was just tough. It was a tough watch. I can't think of a loss where I felt more just sort of like emotionally detached. And I think I've said that about like certain other games this year, but they really kind of have kept me engaged. But I just didn't really feel that sense of engagement today. It just felt like they were playing with both arms tied behind their back and just kind of being asked to do everything perfectly. And they weren't. They shot themselves in the foot a little bit. And then you couple that with getting a couple, what I would say were suspect calls by the officials. But like at this point, my contention with that is like you just have to plan for that. You have to see that as sort of baked into the ebbs and flows of the game. And when you've got guys, to my point, that you're signing off the street, the chances are they're going to be drawing more penalties because they're going to have to play more physical and play a little bit more outside the rules to even things up. So, yeah, it was just a tough watch in that regard. But funny thing about that is it didn't really start that way. The Ravens, like I said, they kicked to start the game, so they won the toss and they deferred. Put Cincy out there on offense. They made a nice bend but don't break stop to hold them to 3 points on their first drive. Then they the Bengals kick to Josh Johnson, who I mentioned was told he was going to be the starter the day before the game. They drive right down the field, and what do you know? Rashad Bateman's first ever NFL touchdown pass coming from Josh Johnson, of all people. So that was cool to see, and that certainly was, to my point earlier about being a little disengaged, I think there definitely was a moment where it's like, okay, well, you know, if they can muck it up a little bit and Johnson can move the ball and Bateman is going to be making plays like he was pretty much all throughout that first drive, he looked really good to start. quieted down a little bit, but I think that was a function of the offense just sort of turtling a tad bit, which was unfortunate. But yeah, they made it look like they had a chance to keep it close early. It was relatively close in the first half. They really started to pull away. And I think, like I said, the moment where it started to get away from them was they were the Ravens were within the inside 2 minutes of the half. They score a touchdown through Devontae Freeman, I think, and felt like they scored a little early at the time. I think that was ultimately proven right because, like I said, that was when we got the third and long T. Higgins mossing the two defenders. I think it was Chuck Clark, and I'm not sure which one of these cast-off corners that we're talking about. But, yeah, that's kind of where the floodgates really opened up, and that was sort of the game. But Johnson, I thought, looked very solid for a guy who is like literally the definition of a journeyman. I think he's played for like 13 different teams. He's been in like the XFL and the AAF. He's actually a Twitch streamer, so check him out. Check out his stuff. I thought that was kind of a funny little tidbit. And yeah, I mean, like I said, for a guy who basically got called up off the AAA team to come in here and start in the big leagues on extremely short notice, he goes out there and throws for 304 yards, two touchdowns. He throws a pick in the end. I'm not sure who it was to. It was one of their linebackers, I believe. The game was pretty much salted away at that point, though. Like, he was kind of dealing at certain points, and the first drive was certainly one of them. I forget exactly when in the second half it was, but dropped a couple dimes to Mark Andrews, one down the sideline, and then one for a touchdown. He put it, like, over two defenders. Andrews grabs it, scores a touchdown, continues the incredible season that he's having. And so for the Ravens, if you want to come up with a positive to take out of this game, it's certainly, difficult to do so, but I would say the receiving core overall, it has been an immense strength of this team. And I think it's going to be moving forward. Andrews, 8 receptions, 125 yards, 1 touchdown. James Prochet having a career day for 7 catches, 76 yards. He had a long of 17. He looked really good. He looked like a very solid professional slot receiver, which I think I was maybe one of the people that thought the Prochet hype was getting a little out of control to start the year. But this is pretty much exactly what you would hope for from a guy like that, you know, a 6th-round pick. Hollywood Brown quietly looked okay, 5 for 44. But I think the story is the young guys, and it's Rashad Bateman, 4 for 26 in the touchdown, and it's also Tylan Wallace. He only had one catch, but it was an 18-yarder. He bounced off a couple guys, kind of leaned into some defenders and picked up a first down. They've just got a lot of guys at a position where they've historically had a ton of problems at. And it feels like for all the hand-wringing and all the issues we've been kind of harping on with this team and some of the poor construction, particularly along the offensive line, I totally get it. It really has cost them in a lot of respects, but we were doing a lot of complaining about wide receivers and pass catchers and all that stuff during the offseason last year. And DaCosta, he made his comments about how it was quite insulting, the good young receivers they had and all that jazz. But in my estimation, he went out and fixed it. And he is owed some credit for that, because this is something that even Ozzie Newsome, as great as he was never able to figure out. So, and this was all without Devin Duvernay even playing today. I'm not sure what he was dealing with, but he did not suit up today. So that's where you get Wallace coming in and making his second career catch. I think he had his first one last week against the Packers. So he's kind of starting to come on a little bit here down the stretch, which is nice, because it felt like at one point we weren't going to be seeing much of him this year. And I wouldn't say we've seen much, but the fact that when he's been called upon, the few times he has, he's looked pretty solid, has been good. And yeah, that's just kind of the story of the day, is that the receivers did a good job keeping Johnson in the game, keeping things kind of moving along. And they were pretty much, once you get into the second half, they were pretty much playing down 2 scores, like all the way. So a lot of opportunities to throw it and air it out and make these guys look good. And they certainly capitalized on those opportunities. Unfortunately, it just wasn't enough, though. I mean, the Bengals, to their credit and a little bit to their fortune, I think they've been very healthy this year, both in terms of injuries and in terms of COVID. It really showed today. I saw two young operations, with some veteran talent on each roster, but ultimately just the difference that showed through to me was health. I think if the Ravens were even, I don't know, I don't even know what percentage point of health they're at right now because they have 30 plus guys on IR and COVID and all that kind of stuff. I think if the Ravens were even close to like three quarters of the strength that they're at, they could have maybe kept this thing a little bit more competitive. But ultimately, I think you do kind of just got to tip your cap to Cincinnati on this one. Let them do what they want. Let them run their mouth. And if some of them are certainly doing that, some of their players, Eli Apple in particular, was having a fun one, as I think nobody would be surprised to hear. After the game, hopping on social media and taking some shots. So to me, ultimately, what happened today was two teams that should have been competing for this division based upon what we saw early in this year. They were, but ultimately it comes down to the health. Like, the Ravens are on their third string quarterback. We've heard all year about the issues in the offensive line and the secondary, and the talent gap as far as the players that both teams fielded today, ultimately just it proved to be too much. I think the Ravens still have a very good coaching staff, so that's kind of what's been keeping them in a lot of these games, but that can only make so much of a difference for you, I think. And particularly when it's happened in the fashion that it has for them, where it's just one blow after another, including Anthony Averett going down today, and Tavon Young, I think, also got hurt too. There's just not much to really say, I don't think. And the Bengals, they go on to put themselves in the driver's seat to win the division. They've got Kansas City at home and then Cleveland away. Not the easiest stretch necessarily. Based upon what we saw today from their offense, people are kind of going a little bit nuts about how historic of a performance it was, because, you know, they were playing against pretty much nobody in that secondary for the Ravens. So it's going to be tough for them, I think, to keep pace with Mahomes and the Chiefs based upon what they did to the Steelers today, which was absolutely shit pump them. So that's going to be a fun game. KC at Cincinnati. And then the Browns, you know, they're... season is effectively over. They lost in Green Bay yesterday. But they beat the Bengals in Cincinnati. They absolutely put it on them. So Baker Mayfield gets fully healthy and is feeling a little frisky in 2 weeks. You know, it would not shock me in the slightest if, let's say, since he loses to Kansas City and they go into that game, they're feeling all the pressure and it gets them a little bit. That wouldn't totally shock me. Now, as for the Ravens and their division chances, and they would need to win out to take the division if that were going to be the case, if the Bengals were going to lose out, it's going to be tough. But like, Harbaugh made the point in his postgame presser today that we're going to get a lot of guys healthy, he said, and we're just going to, you know, get back on the horse next week and see what we can do. And he's not wrong about that. They're going to get a lot of guys off the COVID list. I can't even keep track with the injuries anymore, but we'll see, I guess. I do think the expectation is Lamar Jackson's going to be coming back. So you got the Rams at home and you got the Steelers at home, and those are going to be two tough games. But if you get Lamar back and you get a lot healthier in some certain spots, I think it's not necessarily not doable. So we're going to see what happens in that regard. And there were some other stories coming out of this one. The Bengals, like I've been saying, they were throwing the rock all over the place, and that continued well into the fourth quarter when the game had already been won. So there were some people, Mike Florio in particular, trying to make a story about how the Ravens weren't happy that they were doing that. But if you listen to what they said, and I think people were kind of directing that at Harbaugh, if you listen to what Harbaugh said after the game, he said, they call our plays, we call our plays. And he basically more or less just brushed it off. I think he probably, to their point, I think he probably was a little bit mad, but he didn't say anything about it. So we're going to see what happens. But I think the overall overarching point between these two teams as they walk away from this game today is that there's a new burgeoning rivalry in the AFC North, I think. I think a lot of people expected that the team that we're seeing in Cincinnati right now, I think a lot of people were thinking that was going to be Cleveland this year. Super talented, high-powered, offensive young team led by a superstar young quarterback. A lot of people were thinking that was going to be Baker and the Browns this year. It certainly was not. And like I said, the Browns are they're kind of packing it in for the year. So it looks like that team is actually going to be the Bengals. And as much as people have maybe concerns about Lamar Jackson right now, I expect that he's going to come back and be every bit the player that we've seen in the past, at least to some extent. So my expectation is that this division for the next couple of years is going to come down to these two teams a lot of the time. And we'll see what Cleveland can do, and we'll see what happens with Pittsburgh's quarterback situation. Seems like Big Ben leaving is probably going to be the right thing for all parties, but it does seem like, based upon the precedent of the last couple of years of the Ravens owning this group, and then based upon what we saw today, it does seem like these two teams are going to be the ones to watch, I think, moving forward. And as for the Ravens, it's not over yet necessarily. They sit at 8-7. Like I said, they had those two games coming up. And the Chargers losing to the Texans today, that really threw a monkey wrench into the wild card positioning, because the Ravens have a tiebreaker over the Chargers, who I think are at 500 now, maybe even under 500, after losing to the Texans in Houston. So that's a tough scene. I don't think everything went their way. I think they needed the Broncos to win, and they lost in Las Vegas. So that's tough. Steelers lost. That's, I think, big for them. I'm not sure how much of a factor the Steelers are, but they do have the tiebreaker over the Ravens as things stand, the head-to-head, but they are going to see each other again in a couple weeks. And then I think you have the Dolphins playing tomorrow night, so they need them to lose, I believe. And it's just a complete muddled mess in the wild card race right now. And I'm not going to predict one way or the other whether the Ravens are going to get it done and make it to the playoffs. Just because of the health and the injuries and all that stuff, it's just like, it's so hard to really project, hard to have a strong feeling one way or the other about what's going to happen. But first things first, it starts with winning these next two games. And like I said, that is certainly going to be tough. But listen, you've got Mark Andrews playing out of his mind. You've got these young receivers doing really well. Hopefully you've got Jackson coming back. And the offensive line, they had some rough patches today, but overall they looked pretty solid. And they've looked pretty solid for the last couple weeks, I think way better than they did with Jackson in the lineup. So if you can kind of combine all those elements together and put together a good game against the Rams and hopefully get it done, hopefully break this losing streak of four straight games, I think maybe the first December that John Harbaugh has ever gone winless, which is kind of hard to believe. But yeah, they're still at 8-7. They still have a chance to make the playoffs. So I'm going to be rooting for them. I'm sure a lot of you guys will be too. And I'm sure a lot of you guys that say you want a draft pick actually are going to be rooting for them, because you're just using that as a defense mechanism, but that's okay. You know, that's just how fans are. Like I said, not really a whole lot to say here. So we're running just a little over 20 minutes here on my recap show, and I'm going to go ahead and cut it there. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you all had a lovely lovely Christmas holiday for all those who celebrate. I hope you're having a lovely holiday season in general. Hope you had a nice time off, or maybe you have some more time off coming up this week. I know I do, and I'm very excited about it. We got the new year coming up too, so there's still plenty to be excited about, even if our football team is kind of in a rut right now. But yeah, thanks guys for listening. We'll talk to you again later in the week. We'll get the whole squad together and preview this Rams game, which is going to be a tough one, a fun one, the return to Baltimore. And yeah, let's just try and enjoy it. But anyway, I will talk to you guys then, and have yourselves a great week. Arrivederci.
Gourlami. Gourlami. Arrivederci.
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 Arrivederci. Arrivederci.